So let's open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you, Lord Jesus, thankful and grateful, God, for another day. One more day, Lord Jesus, to grow in your grace and your knowledge, God, and to come to a better understanding of who you are, Lord. May we, God, feel your presence today, Lord Jesus. May we feel your spirit going out, transforming us, God, changing our minds. Lord, we commit this time into your hands, God. I pray a blessing over these women. Lord Jesus, I continue to pray that you'll fill their lives with good things, good gifts, Lord Jesus, from you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, the first character trait that we're going to be studying today is right in our main verse. It's virtue. Proverbs 31:10. Who can find a virtuous wife, right? Her value, her worth is far above rubies. Virtue, or being virtuous, is the first character trait that all the other character traits develop out of. Proverbs 31 is just a description of the character of a virtuous woman, meaning if you are a person of virtue, these will be the evidences in your life. Being virtuous means that we are living in our divine nature and not our sin nature. Virtue is the first quality that Peter tells us in 2 Peter that we are to have. Peter says that God has called us by his glory and virtue, and we can now be partakers of the divine nature through faith. But once we have faith in Jesus, we need to be adding to our faith. We need to be spiritually growing. And the first thing that Peter says we need to add is virtue. That is the start of living in our divine nature. Becoming a woman of virtue does not happen haphazardly. It's not as if we get saved and we receive the Holy Spirit and all of a sudden we immediately become women of maturity and wisdom and all that. I think we could all testify that that's true. At least I can. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. But reject profane old wives' fables and exercise yourself towards godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of the life that is now and of that which is to come. We must be training. Spiritual growth requires serious commitment and effort. If you want to do a check, right, and see if you're behaving in a legalistic kind of way, you need to do heart checks and ask yourself questions to see if you're functioning in legalism or love. Ask yourself, am I doing these things because I am trying to earn merit and favor with God? Am I doing these things because I'm just trying to avoid a consequence, right? Legalism is man-centered. It is man-focused. It's all about you. On the other hand, ask yourself, am I doing these things because I love God? I'm thankful for salvation. I desire to be with him and honor him with my life. When we live in thankfulness to God for his gift of salvation that we do not deserve, it keeps us from sin. It is not a striving in our flesh. It's a resting in God. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love, as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication, all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Walking in love and giving thanks to God is our guard against sin. When we love God and we are thankful for salvation, we will want to be with him. We will want to live for him. So what is virtue? Virtue is a deep word. It is defined as moral excellence, strength, power, mighty work, worthiness, valor, purity, efficiency, ability. We see the word virtuous in the New Testament many times in different scenarios in the Old Testament. 56 times in the Old Testament, it's used for army. 37 times, man of valor. 29 times for forces. 12 times for strength. 11 for wealth. 9 for power. And 5 for strong. We see it when describing Ruth in Ruth 3:11. And in Proverbs 31, virtuous woman. Virtue is expressed, right? It shows itself in different ways throughout the scriptures. One way that we see it expressed is moral excellence, right? Goodness. This means that we're reflecting the virtue of God, his character. Another way that we see that virtue is expressed in scripture is moral energy, vigor, valor, courage. It's our spiritual fortitude. Virtue is our faith in action, right? It's the living out of our faith. Third, we see it as expressed as excellent, meaning it's fulfilling its intended use. If you sit on a chair and that chair collapses, that is not an excellent chair. It's the worst, right? It's so embarrassing. It's a bad chair. But when a chair holds weight, right, it's fulfilling its purpose. It's fulfilling its design. So when we are excellent, it means that we're fulfilling our intended use, what God has designed us to be. It means we're living in the godly virtues of God, right? Being Christ-like. In the New Testament, when Jesus heals, it's the word virtue that's used. Most of us don't read the King James Version, but if you read the King James Version, you'll see that it's virtue. So it's when God's power, his righteousness, went out of him that people were healed and made whole. Mark 5, verse 20 through 30. For she said, this is the woman that was bleeding for 12 years. If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague, of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? You see, virtue means so much more than power. Power can be positive or negative depending on the context. Virtue is always positive. It is not only power that heals us and makes us whole. It is God's moral excellence, his righteousness being imparted into us that makes us whole. It is not just power that expels the evil in our lives. It is God's righteousness that expels the evil in our lives. The devil, the enemy, he can work signs and wonders. He has power. Only God can make us whole. Only God can expel evil. Because virtue comes from God's righteousness and his power in us or upon us, an unbelieving woman can never be this woman. This woman has been imparted with the virtue of God, so she can function in her divine nature. It is a gift and a privilege from God that as Christ followers, we have the ability to become this rare, virtuous woman. So who is she? Who is this woman of virtue? She is a woman of strength, valor, power. She is a woman that is battle ready and on her post. She is not giving up territory in her home or her life to the enemy. She is disciplined and she is intentional. She has army strength. A virtuous woman rests in the righteousness of God. She's not striving. She's resting in the righteousness of God to give her the power to fulfill God's will and his ordained roles for her life. Just as when Jesus' virtue left him healing and making people whole. When a woman is a woman of virtue, when she has the power of God upon her, the spirit of the living God within her, this woman, when she is living in God's moral excellence, in his purity, in his strength, when she is functioning in her divine nature, this woman will have the virtue to heal her home, to heal her relationships, and to heal her hurts, and help others by the power of God. She is able to serve those around her well. This woman is not selfish. She's selfless. She has the strength of character and the moral fortitude to walk in victory. This is a woman like Ruth who does not walk in defeat. Her circumstances do not determine her behavior. You read the book of Ruth this week for your homework, so I am not going to read those chapters to you. But you learned that Ruth did not let the fact that she was a widow in poverty in a foreign land and new to faith hold her down and become the victim of her circumstances. A virtuous woman works hard and moves ahead with God despite the difficulties in her life. Ruth had the virtue, that virtuous character to live a self-sacrificing life. Ruth 3:11. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Ruth's virtuous character gave her favor with God and man. It was her witness to those around her, to those in her life. So how do we become this woman, this virtuous woman? You have to desire it. You have to want it. You alone decide if you grow with God or not. It is a personal decision. No one has the power to change someone else's heart, right? I cannot stand up here and force morality or conviction on anyone. That is a move of the Holy Spirit, and salvation is of God. But here's the thing. God has given us everything we need to be successful in our Christian walks. Every spiritual blessing is available to us in Christ Jesus. We need to lay hold of them. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to a life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Everything we need to live a godly life is available to us. It's up to us if we choose to walk in them, if we choose to lay hold of them. Peter states in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 9, that we are to give all diligence. All of our effort, ladies, is to go to growing in our faith, to adding to our faith. And the first thing he says is virtue. It says, starting at chapter 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence. Put all your effort to add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. We must be intentional in our walks with God, carefully following his ways by knowing his word. If we are not maturing in our walks with God, We have some blind spots. We have some areas that we're not seeing clearly, that we are not allowing the Holy Spirit to penetrate. If we are barren and unfruitful, we are not putting all diligence into growing. But where does this desire come from, right? Where does it develop out of? It's determined by whether or not we truly fear God. The fear of God is foundational in our faith. Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. It also states in Proverbs 16, 6, by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. Without fear of God, we will never have godly wisdom, that wisdom that is from above, right? That produces the good fruit in our lives. But also without the fear of God, we will not change our behaviors and depart from evil. I want to take a moment on the fear of God because it is so vital in our growth and our maturity with God for us to enter into all God has ordained us to be. The fear of God, okay, is to have respect, reverence, and honor for God. It is expressed to God through love that results in obedience. Okay, fear of God is not the fear of punishment or shame before God, because perfect love casts out that fear from us. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. The word fear in that verse is fear, torment, dread, shame, guilt. Okay? That is not the fear that I'm talking about. That is not the fear of God. If you believe that your relationship with God is about performance, that is legalism. Legalism produces fear and torment. It makes you feel like somehow God is out to get you, and it removes intimacy. If you are still living in torment, guilt, shame, it is an indication that you have not been made perfect in the love of Jesus Christ. You have not matured in it yet. God is not out to get us. God loves us, and he gave his life to redeem us. That does not produce torment or guilt. It should be producing gratitude. We should be so thankful. The blood of Jesus removes the guilt and the shame and the fear of torment from our lives so that we can boldly enter the throne of grace. The fear that we are to have, right? The fear of God is knowing that he's the Lord God Almighty, that he's our creator, our sustainer, our savior, our redeemer. Our lives are in his hands. It is complete and utter respect and reverence for God. If we truly fear God, right? If we truly respect God, then we will obey him. We will know that his ways are the absolute best way. We will dethrone ourselves as the Lord of our lives and obey God. Following his ways shows, it expresses, okay, that he's our leader, our guide, and our Lord. It's an expression of our love and devotion to God. 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, which means this is what loving God means. This is how we express it. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For the virtuous woman, the commandments of God are not a burden. They are a delight. Our lives are to be submitted to God. Naturally, we will not follow someone we don't respect. So if we say we fear God, but we don't live according to his ways, what we are actually expressing is a lack of respect and a lack of love for God. We are to be living out our salvation with fear and trembling. We do that with complete reliance on God, knowing it is God working through us. Philippians 2, verses 12 through 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation, meaning live out your walk, live out your faith with fear, with respect, with some reverence. Live out your faith, live out your walk with some respect. And trembling. Trembling is an anxiety and distrust in your own ability to meet the requirement. It's knowing in ourselves that we can't do it, that apart from God, we can't do it. We could do nothing apart from Jesus. That's what the trembling is. It's like, I cannot do this, God. And so you know that it goes on to say, for it is God who works in you to both will and do for his good pleasure. It's trembling knowing I can't do it. It's God. It's going to be God working through him. It's going to be God doing it. That's why our relationship, ladies, is all about resting in him, allowing him to have control, allowing him to come in and move within our lives. So a woman of virtue fears God. In turn, she guards her behavior, meaning she's intentionally and carefully keeping the ways of the Lord. She controls her behaviors. Her behaviors do not control her. Ephesians 5, verses 8 and 10. For you were once darkness, but now you're a light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. The woman of virtue seeks to determine what is acceptable and pleasing to God. She does not make assumptions about what God desires from his people. Proverbs 25, verse 28 says, whoever has no rule over his own spirit. Okay, this means whoever has no rule over their behaviors, their emotions, their self-control. Okay, whoever does it is like a city broken down without walls. Broken down walls means you are exposed. You're vulnerable. You're easily attacked and taken over. The virtuous woman is not that. Proverbs 31, 27. She watches over the ways of her household, and she does not eat the bread of idleness. Her defenses are up. Right? She is the watchman of her life. She is on the wall watching over everything that's happening in her life. She is on her post. She is aware and on guard. She controls her emotions. Her walls are established and her armor is on. The virtuous woman is trained for battle by knowing God's ways and keeping them. She is a woman who puts all effort into growing with God. Proverbs 31, 28 says that the virtuous woman is blessed, right? Psalm 1 shows us, it kind of explains to us who the blessed people are. So I'm going to break it down for you. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. A virtuous, blessed woman does not seek advice, counsel, guidance, purpose from the world. She does not do things the world's way, nor stands in the path of sinners. A blessed woman does not go down the course of the habit of sin, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. A blessed, virtuous woman does not tarry with. She does not remain or take part in people who mock God. That's the scornful. Or mock the wisdom of God. But his delight, her delight, is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. A virtuous woman, the woman that is called blessed, delights in spending time with God. Delights means she longs for it. It's a pleasure. It's the joy of her life to think on God all day long. A woman of virtue has received power in her life by the Holy Spirit to live in obedience and courageously and graciously confront the evil in her life. Here are a few, not all the words, just a few of the words used to describe the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. She's safe She willingly works. She's perceptive. She's strong. She is generous. She is not afraid. She's wise. She is blessed. And she excels. A woman of virtue adds blessing and benefit to those around her. So what is the opposite? What is the opposite of a woman of virtue, a woman of moral excellence, value, gain, profit? It's a woman of carnality, a woman of immorality. This woman is unprofitable. She does not bring gain. She is whom Paul would describe in 1 Corinthians 3 as a carnal Christian. She may be saved, but she's still functioning in her flesh. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. Brethren, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now, you were not able to receive it. And even now, you are still not able, for you are still carnal. And it's going to go on to say, what are the evidences of carnality? For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Paul was talking to the church. And here's the crazy thing. In Proverbs 7, when it describes the immoral woman, she's doing religious things. She's probably a church-going woman. In Proverbs 7:14, it says, the immoral woman says, I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vows. It's like she's saying, I just got home from church. I did my duty. Right? What's more terrifying is the next verse. Verse 15 says, so I came out to meet you, to diligently seek your face, and I have found you. This immoral woman is not content to sin alone. She is on the hunt to find those she could take down with her. Ladies, it's a terrifying thing to sin against a holy God. But it is a whole nother level to be the one who's doing the tempting. Matthew 18:7. What sorrow awaits the world because it tempts people into sin? Temptations are inevitable. But what sorrow awaits the person who does the tempting? I am not saying that this immoral woman in Proverbs 7 is saved. She is not. It's very obvious. But what I am saying is that she is in our midst. So how does this apply to us? First, as women of God, we need to discern who we walk, stand, and sit with. It goes back to the blessing of Psalm 1. We must be cautious about whom we spend our time with and what we are imitating. Secondly, we need to make sure we are not this woman. They were not just playing church and living for the satisfaction of our flesh. Our relationship with God is not a game, and it has eternal consequences. So the carnal woman is not living in the power and the moral excellence of the divine nature God has prepared for her. The definition of carnal in the Greek is sarkios, which means fleshly, governed by the human nature, not the divine nature. The flesh is the ruling principle of this woman's life. And the fruit of carnality is evident. You'll see it in immaturity, jealousy, strife, immorality, and impurity. You'll still be acting like a woman of the world, right? They'll still be behaving like an unsaved woman. An immoral woman is not on her post. She's not living out what we just read in Proverbs 31:27. She is lazy in her walk with God. Unlike the virtuous woman who delights in the law of the Lord, right, in the ways of God, the immoral woman sighs at spiritual growth. It's like, that's what she got. For the immoral woman, spiritual growth is a little bit too hard. It's kind of boring, right? She'll say things like, you just don't understand all the things I have going on in my life right now. Her priorities are out of whack. She's not training for battle because she's too busy complaining about everything in her life. Instead of intentionally seeking God and walking in his ways, She's an excuse maker. Carnal women feed on filth because their flesh governs them. It's what's in control. So in turn, she watches shows with inappropriate content. She reads books that give her false realities about relationships. The things of this world captivate her mind more than the things of God. Unlike the virtuous woman who meditates on the Lord day and night, the carnal woman fills her mind with the things of the world. The immoral woman will always come up with a reason why she cannot accomplish what God sets before her, because she's spiritually lazy. Proverbs 22, verse 13 through 14. A lazy person claims, "There is a lion out there. If I go outside, I might be killed." The next verse, "The mouth of an immoral woman is a dangerous trap, and those who make the Lord angry will fall into it." Ladies, there's no coincidences in the Word of God. Verse 13 talks about a lazy person, and the very next verse is about the immoral woman's words trap her and are dangerous to those around her. Being an excuse maker and lazy in our walks with God is speaking in unbelief traps us, and it prevents us from growing with God. It's a reflection of our hearts. Matthew 6:45 says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." What we truly believe, we will say, and we will live it out. The immoral woman blames others for her behavior and does not take responsibility for her actions. She is always the victim. And in turn, she never walks in victory. And I really want to be careful about how I'm coming across. I have empathy and compassion for the abuses and the hardships and the violations in your life that you have gone through and that you are currently going through. I have been there. It is a very, very hard pit to get out of. But our perspective and our view of God in our pain will determine our outcome. Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3. "I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me, and he heard my cry, and he lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground, and he steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing and a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed." They will put their trust in God. If we want out of the pit and a new song to sing and a testimony that will bring many to God, then we must be willing to trust God and patiently allow the Lord to work in us. The enemy will not relent. He will feed you the lie that you're the victim, right? That your situation is so horrendous, that you're so bad that there's no hope. God can lift anyone out of a pit and give them a new song. It is a lie because in Jesus, we are not the victims. We are the victors. 1 Corinthians 15, 57 through 58. "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Joseph, in the book of Genesis, okay, never allowed the abuses, the attacks, the rejection to become his identity. And Joseph was severely attacked. I mean, he was attacked, severely abused by his brothers when they stripped him naked and they put him in that pit. Joseph trusted God and served others. In turn, God's favor rested upon him. Joseph did not waver. He was steadfast, immovable, and he abounded in the works of the Lord despite his circumstances. The carnal woman lives the lie because entering into victory requires self-responsibility. It requires that she be steadfast, that she's immovable, that she does not allow the things around her to move her, and that she abounds in the works of the Lord. It requires that she fully trusts God and is living in obedience to him and for his name's sake. And she'll know that doing that will never be in vain. When God is correcting his people in the book of Hosea, he says in Hosea 4:4, don't point your finger at someone else and try to pass the blame. My complaint, you priests, is with you. God is saying, my complaint is with those who are claiming my name but bringing it shame. We each have a personal accountability to God. A carnal woman always passes the blame on others. She thinks things and says things like this: it's not my fault I do what I do. It's my parents, it's my husband, it's all the things that happen to me that make me sin against a holy God. Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. Pay careful attention to your own work. Then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done. And you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. For we are each responsible for our own conduct. I mentioned in the introduction week that we must be women of truth, honestly assessing our lives and living in the light of God's word, right? Not making excuses, not self-justifying sinful behaviors. An immoral woman has areas of secrecy in her life, behaviors and habits that she doesn't want others to see or that she will not take responsibility for. But what does God desire? Psalms 32, verses 1 through 2. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Meaning, no deceit. Whose lives are lived in complete honesty. There's no double living. There's no double-mindedness. Confession, ladies, brings cleansing. Confession means we're admitting our guilt. When David held in his guilt and made excuses, he could not move forward from it. He stayed stuck in it. I'm going to read the next verses in the chapter in the NLT because it really kind of brings it to light. So we're still in Psalm 32 verses. Now we're in 3 through 5. When I refused to confess my sin, meaning when I refused to take responsibility for my actions, my body wasted away. And I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated in the summer heat. The pressure of unconfessed sin and a double life is heavy. It's so heavy, you guys. And it will suck the strength and the vitality out of you. So what did David finally do? It goes on to say, finally, I confessed all is all. I confessed all my sins to you. And I stopped trying to hide my guilt. Trying, okay? There's no hiding with God. God knows everything. God wants us to acknowledge it so that it no longer has power over us. Then David says, I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord. And he forgave me. And all my guilt is gone. Ladies, we serve the God of truth. That is his name. He will never honor a lie and justifying of sin. Because in the justification of sin, you're living a lie. You're not living in the truth of God's word. If God calls something sin and we do not, okay? We are not walking in agreement with God. We're not going in the same direction as God. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? If God declares something sinful, evil, wicked, wrong, okay, and we do not, we are the ones that are incorrect, not God. We must confess and repent. Then the forgiveness and the cleansing will come in. The immoral woman lives to satisfy her flesh and its desires, unlike the virtuous woman who is living a life of thanksgiving for her redemption through the blood of Jesus. The immoral woman is not like the virtuous woman who understands and lives out 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Ladies, to be women of worth, we need to walk worthy of the price that was paid. There was a price shed in blood for us. The carnal woman is still claiming all the rights to her body. The carnal woman has half-hearted faith that leads to a defeated life because she doesn't live in obedience. It's partial obedience, and that's disobedience. I'm going to end with Proverbs 12:4. I'm going to read it in the King James Version because this shows the contrast between the two women. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. It is an honor to have this woman in your life. But she that maketh ashamed is immoral, is as rottenness in his bones. I mentioned before that the virtuous woman has blessing and benefit. She enriches the lives of those around her. Having that woman in your life is an honor. Not so for the immoral woman. According to this verse, she sucks the vitality and the strength out of people. I know that there were hard things taught today. I know because the Lord walked me through them. I couldn't have written this study or teach it if the Lord hadn't taken me through the school of hard knocks. I had to learn it by doing all the things wrong and then figure out how to do it right. And I was a slow learner, so I was like, oh, this is torture. It is a painful process. It was so painful to acknowledge all my shortcomings, my sins, my self-justifying, and to change and repent. And it is a daily thing. Every day we're going to wake up and our flesh, our carnal nature is going to be there demanding its way. There was so much mourning happening in my life when God opened my eyes to all the things I had done against him. But blessed are those who mourn. They shall be comforted. Fall at the feet of our God of all comfort in repentance. Let his mercies consume you. He desires, ladies, to give you guys good things. His compassions fail not, right? If we didn't have God's mercies, we'd already be consumed. But we're not consumed. You guys are all look like you're breathing to me. So it means we all have an opportunity to keep going, to keep growing, to change, to have victory. So if there was something that convicted you today, it's a good thing. That's hope. That means today could be the day of change. That means we can move forward and grow. We don't have to stay the way that we are. Ask the Lord to give you new desires, new habits, new cravings. Growth and maturity do not happen overnight. Okay? Sanctification is a lifelong process. And true growth is usually slow growth. So have a lot of grace with yourself. However, you should be able to start seeing, be able to look back at the day that you received the gift of salvation and say, at least I'm not who I was back then, right? I'm a little less of a psycho. I was a big psycho, and now I'm a baby psycho. whatever it is, rejoice in the little things, right? Rejoice in the little works that you see in the Holy Spirit in your life, okay? So our desire as women of God should be to be women who are living in truth, living our lives in the light of the gospel, edifying and gracious to bring blessing and benefit to those around us. So I told you every week I'm going to close in prayer, praying scriptures over us. This week I'm going to pray Proverbs 9, verse 11 through 12. Wisdom will multiply your days and add years to your life. If you become wise, you're going to be the one to benefit. If you scorn wisdom, though, you will be the one to suffer. Then I'm going to pray Proverbs 31, 30. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. And praise means shine forth. We will shine. Fear of the Lord brings a shining of God out of our lives. So let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us every spiritual blessing, God, everything we need to be successful in our Christian walks with you. We desire, oh Lord, to be women of virtue, living in your moral excellence, God, in your power. Women, Lord, that enrich and benefit others and ourselves, Lord Jesus. Lord, may we not scorn and disrespect your wisdom to our own hurt and to the hurt of those in our lives. May we receive your word that has been imparted into us that we may benefit. We want our days, God, to be full and long and focused on you. Lord, we ask that you make our hearts truly fear you, that in every decision we make it in reverence to you. May our beauty never fade, Lord Jesus, because it is an inner beauty produced by you. May we be living sacrifices, holy and acceptable in your sight. May our lives be a life of thanksgiving, God. I pray, Lord Jesus, God, for any hurting heart in this room, God, that you will touch it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord God, that you will not allow any woman to leave this room with condemnation and guilt, because that is not from you. That you will remove the guilt and shame from our lives, God. That you will help us, Lord, to rest in your love, to allow your perfect love to come in and consume us. Lord Jesus, pour your mercy out upon us. We love you, Jesus. Help us to love you more. We trust you, God. Help us to trust you more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.